Good evening to everyone. As was mentioned, it is our last night, and in some ways, as quickly as it came, it is now at the end. And it has been a joy to be here. As someone asked me, are you ready to go home? Well, that's a hard question to answer. Yes and no. I'm ready for my own bed. I'm not going to say otherwise there, but to be able to meet more brethren. It's one of the joys in my life to go and to see other people that are standing, that are fighting, that love the truth, that love God's word. It also afforded me the opportunity, Brother Mike and I, usually when we cross paths, it's at a lectureship or a camp, and just to be able to sit down and have a conversation is usually interrupted. Not a bad thing, but not able to finish it out. And so a few days this week, we've been able to have that opportunity. And he told me the other day, he said, you know, I like you because you're a sound preacher. And then he goes, but you're a little weird. And well, that's my word. I think he used the word quirky. And from Brother Mike, I'll take that as a compliment. But you do have a good man in the pulpit who does hold to the truth. We're not all perfect. None of us are. But I assure you, we do our best to study God's word and to present it as God would have us. And so I want to thank you for giving me that opportunity and for your hospitality, your kindness, your generosity. It's my prayer, if the Lord tarries, that it won't be our last encounter or meeting of seeing one another. It also was encouraging to see those that I do know and have not seen in some time. This evening, as was mentioned, it is simplicity and purity. Now, my title for this lesson was changed to that, obviously. We're running with a theme here, but in Gibson terminology, it would be a spoon of dirt. A spoon of dirt. Not trying to be clever here, but trying to get our attention. I believe it was last night, Josh here was telling us a story about a lab experiment that they are conducting at school where they have several bottles. For some reason, a lot of you have told me do not drink San Angelo water. I have not figured that out yet, but I hope I don't get sick because that's all the hotel offers there in the room. But nonetheless, he's doing this experiment, or the class is, and they've put certain things in these bottles and to create different things. And I don't know if I got it all right, but some of the bottles are bubbling a little bit, and some of the bottles are producing smells that you wouldn't care to have, although that could be used to see if your smells come back from COVID. And he just said there's some weird things going on in those bottles. And I got to thinking tonight, and I don't remember, Josh, did you say there was also just a straight up bottle of water? Now, we know sunshine and things can do different things, but you look at that, and if I were to ask you, so if you have four bottles and three of them have something in it and one of them's water, which one would you be drinking out of? After he told that story, I wasn't sure if I'd ever drink water again. But nonetheless, it serves for our purposes here this evening. The idea of purity, and you can really associate that with water in a hurry, can't you? Matter of fact, it is said that we pay more for water than we do for gasoline. If you were to do all the math on that and figure everything out, we pay more for water than we do for gasoline. Why is that, brethren? We're demanding purity. We're demanding cleanness. We want the best going into our bodies. Well, we know then carrying that over spiritually, the same is true as well. Please turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. And this is where our lesson will come from tonight. Daniel chapter 1. We understand that in life there are the powerful currents of compromise. And they are everywhere. We're subjected to it just about as soon as we walk out our door. And some of us have allowed it through our door and into our homes. And the Bible calls for us to be pure, to have that life of purity. Unfortunately, some have become shipwrecked upon the rocks of impurity. We're going to learn about some folks tonight. If you're familiar with Daniel, you already know right where I am headed with this and what is going to be brought out in these young men here and how they stood up for God and kept themselves pure. It is hard sometimes, brethren, to resist temptation. Otherwise, the devil wouldn't keep doing it. And so you think about this and the lives that we live in and fighting through this compromise. What is the definition of compromise? You ever thought about that? You hear preachers say, don't be compromising. What does that mean? Technically speaking, a settlement of differences by mutual occasions. A settlement of differences by mutual occasions. Life is filled with compromises. Now, Monday night, we were discussing marriage. Some compromise is good. And husband and wives figure that out real quick in their marriage if they want a happy marriage. But we never, under any circumstances, compromise the Word of God. So understand this evening that with this, there is some that is good and some that is bad. And if you go towards compromising God's Word, then you become impure. You become tainted. You become stained. That's what sin does to us. Hence why we need to obey the gospel of our Lord to have that sin removed. And so as we go through this life, we come to these times of decision. For those of you that are older, do you face different temptations today than you did when you were a young person? You see, it's never going to go away. You get one thing mastered, there's going to be another thing coming. And it happens as we grow in age and different events, different things happen in our life and things that we must face. And so when we hit that crossroads, we're going to have to determine, am I going to follow God and stay pure, or am I going to compromise? And you think about this. Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. They were fake. They were pretenders. And yet they were the religious leaders of the day in that land. So what I'm getting at, brethren, is we can call ourselves Christians, and there may still be some house cleaning, if you will, that needs to take place. Part of edifying one another, part of iron sharpening iron, and as we grow in these things. Our text here is about four men, and they came to a crossroads where they had to make some very important decisions in their lives. You notice I keep mentioning crossroads. That's where the impurity many times will kick in if we do not make the right decision. They could either compromise, become tainted, and go with the flow, or they could stand up for God Almighty. And we're going to bring out some of those things this evening. The circumstances they faced, the decisions that they had to make, and it's always impressed me upon their age, what tells me their mama and daddy were getting it right so that they could make these decisions when they were faced or in these circumstances. Since this occurs, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are still fresh on our minds, right? You can run into people that maybe don't know much about the Bible, but somehow they've heard of those names. Maybe it was a vacation Bible school grandma sent them to when they were a child, but somehow they are familiar with those names. And what of Daniel? Who would have ever heard of this young man by the name of Daniel if it was not for him standing up and serving God Almighty? What are we leaving, I asked this the other night, for the next generation to follow? You don't have that brought out in the book of Daniel, but I've always been impressed. These men had to be taught something somewhere, the right way to make the right decisions and to stand up for what they did here in Daniel chapter 1. And let us be mindful of that. And so as we go through life, there's always going to be the opportunity to make decisions. It's not always going to be popular if we stand with God Almighty. So with this evening, I was going to bring it up here, but I decided not to. Imagine with me that I have a bottle of water. I've seen some in the pews. Just a plain bottle of water. All right? Would you drink that water if I was to go outside this door here and get a spoon of dirt, put it in that water bottle, shake it up, and offer it to you? You'd say, you're crazy, preacher. Matter of fact, some of us, if the cap has already been sealed, been broken, we don't even want it then, much less a spoon of dirt in it. Why? It has become impure. We're going to build upon that tonight. And so this evening in verses 1 through 7, the problem at hand. In verses 8 through 14, the purpose of their hearts. And then we will look at verses 15 through 21, the promotion from heaven. So 3 points this evening as we learn how to be pure before God Almighty. Now, in these first 7 verses, these Hebrew boys, they face several problems. Each of them has the potential to derail. Each of them has the potential to make their lives impure, to get in this spiritual nightmare, if you will, and get entangled with the affairs of the world. the problems that they face, though, are not that much different than what we encounter today. Oh, we're not being taken captive and shipped over to a foreign land, but the principles are still the same of what goes on in our minds and the decisions that have to be made. And it's my prayer this evening that we can bring that over. Brethren, purity and compromising, I've qualified it already this evening with God's word, do not mix. It's going to cost us if we try to mix those two things. And the church is losing her identity. Do you know why? Because of impurity. We're washing down what God would have us to be. Oh, not the church everywhere, but those who are abandoning the precious word of God, that's what exactly is happening. They're washing down. Matter of fact, in meeting people and trying to set up Bible studies, they'll say, oh, well, where do you go to church? You know, where do you attend church services? I used to tell people the Church of Christ. Oh, you're the ones that don't use instruments. Or, oh, there's one of those down. They no longer distinguish even that. You're the same as the next one down the road. I would encourage you to tell them that you attend the Lord's Church. You see, they haven't heard of that one. And that's a sad statement in our day today. But it gets the walls down so that you can continue the conversation. And so look now with me in verses 1 and 2, and we see a new home. And the third year in the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. The boys had been brought up in and around Jerusalem. They would have been constantly reminded of God with the temple, with everything that is going on around there, its sacrifices, its priests, its scribes. This would have been an everyday part of these young men's life. Now they are picked up and they are moved to a new location. And we see what they did with what Nebuchadnezzar did with the items that were in the temple. Now what are these young men subjected to? They're slaves. They're taken away into a foreign country, and they're surrounded by pagan worship. They are among people who hold idolatry in high esteem. It would be easy for them, especially as young men, to just fit in. As a matter of fact, if you're the captive and you don't fit in, what usually happens? Not a good result in terms of physical life as we know it. Torturing, beating, whatever, starvation, even that of death. And here are these young men surrounded now by things that is totally and completely foreign to them. That caused a jolt in your life? Would there be some decisions that have to be made? No doubt about it. For us, brethren, this danger is just as real. This has not gone away from us. It is easy to be spiritual in church services. Why? We're surrounded by godly people. It's not a problem. Matter of fact, it's something that I like to say is, you know, if that old devil came through that door, we'd box his ears and kick him out right away. But what are we going to do tomorrow? And what are we going to do the next day when we're not surrounded with the love and the truth of our brethren? And we're out there in the war zone, if you will, in the field, in battle, facing these decisions that must be made. It is important that we are consistent in our church attendance, even for that very one thing. It's worth it. I know we go to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, and brethren want to take that and they want to start arguing, well, it doesn't mean this or it means that or whatever. Brethren, why would we not want to be with one another? What good reason is there that says, I don't want to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ? When people get that attitude, I ask them, who do they think they're going to hang out with? Can I say that here? A little slang there. Who are we going to hang out with in heaven? You ever thought about that? We don't like going to meet with the brethren here on earth. What do they think heaven is going to be like? We really need to do some self-checking. It is essential that we surround ourselves with God's people. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. It makes a difference on our life. Peer pressure always exists. It can be positive or it can be negative. Why not be with those who are going to push you to be godly, to be pure, to be right, to make a difference that is good and wholesome in this world? Verses 3 and 4, they have a new knowledge. Let's read those verses together. And the king spoke unto Asphineas, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princes. Now watch verse 4. Children in whom was 1, no blemish, 2, well-favored, 3, skillful in all wisdom, 4, cunning in knowledge, 5, understanding science, 6, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and 7, and whom they might teach and learning the tongue of the Chaldeans. That's not only an exhaustive list, that would be a hard list to fill. Not everyone's going to qualify for what is being sought after here. But yet they are able to go and they are able to find these 4. A new knowledge. What do I mean by that here in these verses? These young men were taught a new language and they were taught new ways of looking at life. Brother, new is not always bad. What do I mean by that? Well, take for example probably just about everyone in this room this evening. A cell phone. Versus what it used to be like. Mentioned some earlier, I'll be headed home tonight. It's going to be late, right? What happens if I break down somewhere and the next town's, 30 miles away? It's going to be nice to have that cell phone. What did you do in the old days? You might be there a while waiting for some help to come by. Not everything that is new is bad. But when people want to give us a new knowledge pertaining to the Bible, know that it's not from God Himself, and it's something that we should stay away with. So in saying that, there are some things that are old, if you will, that are not bad, and they need to stay that way. So this new knowledge, they are being exposed to things that they never have before. It is definitely a dangerous time for them. We have several here and some have been here every night. What an encouragement. Some of them are at school, at the college here in town. One of the greatest fears in Christian parents many times and speaking with them is when their children go off to college. What are they going to face? What are they going to encounter? What are they going to hear? Are they going to be able to decide and discern between what is right and what is wrong? But I'm here to tell you this evening, it's not only with those that are headed off to college. Brethren, it's with all of us. There is much pressure being exerted on us to conform to new things, to changes concerning God's Word. Imagine what's going on in these young people's lives here as they are now in Babylon. We face again the same dangers. It doesn't go away. Remember what I said? Human behavior, human thinking, human thought process never changes. It's going to remain. We're either going to do good or we're going to do evil in the eyes of God. We are constantly exposed to new ways of thinking and being told that our way of looking at the world through the eyes of God in the Bible, imagine that, that it's ancient, that it's outdated, that's intolerant. I've heard it several times and read it several times where there's some people that say those people who are church people, that's because they need a crutch in life. We're weaklings, we're cowards, and we need something else to rely. That gets my blood pressure up real quick. Because that is not the case, and they don't understand the God of heaven who created us and God's expectations. We are told to accept homosexuality. Brethren, do you realize this movement is not content to just leave us alone and we leave them alone? You either come to our way or we will destroy you, is their mentality. If you don't believe it, look at what they're teaching our children. It's sad. Alcohol usage, cursing, promiscuous sexual activity. God has not changed His mind about any of these. These are all still sins, and it makes somebody impure. We are told also, I'll just leave it that, various other things. What God said, brethren, 4,000 years ago, what God said 3,000 years ago, what God said 2,000 years ago still stands today. And I will remind you, that's an absolute truth, and that is a wonderful blessing to each and every one. Can you imagine serving a God who was always changing His mind? What if the plan of salvation is this way today and different tomorrow? Do you see the trouble we would be getting ourselves into? We could never achieve being pure in the eyes of God if it was ever changing and evolving. It does not matter if it hair-lips the devil. God's Word does not change. And in this, the entire world can stand against us. They can do whatever they want to us. But brethren, we need to make sure tonight that we are going to stand, that we're going to have the courage, and that we're going to be a soldier of Christ. We sang, "Soldiers of Christ, arise." Did we mean that when we sang it? I believe it was last night, maybe two nights ago. Psalm 119, verse 89, a beautiful passage. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Brethren, if it's settled in heaven, then it needs to be settled in us. Isn't that where we're trying to get to? Is heaven. That's where we want to be. And so we produce or provide stability to a world that is confused, to a world that does not have the answers. And we have to work with them to get through that. Verse 5 is a new diet. "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that the end thereof they might stand before the king." So we learn there that he's going to grow them into that which he is seeking. And it's a powerful lesson. It's kind of a side lesson here. It shows that these men are able to work with worldly people, still be pleasing to God, get God's will accomplished, and work with fellow men. Now, I know it doesn't always work that way, but there is time after time again in the Bible where it does work that way. Sometimes we get a little ugly. Sometimes we get a little hateful. We get a little gall about us, and we're bitter. That's a whole lot different than standing for the truth, loving God and loving your fellow man. They are lost souls as well. Most likely this food here was unclean to Jewish standards. You know, you think, wow, water and vegetables? Some of us are doing that today. Others think, no, I could never do that. Why would they make that request? Why would they not want to participate in that new diet? Very likely that could be the case. As Christians, we face choices that are contrary to what God has purposed for us. Think about this. There are decisions about our choice of entertainment. There are decisions about our choice of music. There are choices about our personal relationships. Who are going to be our friends and who are not going to be our friends. The same, brethren, as we preach this and we go different places, are reducing sin to a joke. Nowhere in the Bible does God ever joke about sin. You see in the liberal movement today, and it's not just liberals, you see in different places, but I see people joking about homosexuality. You realize that soul is going to be lost in a devil's hell because of that sin? Who are we then striving to be pure to make a mockery of something that God considers serious? Serious enough that it will provide judgment against them in that day. We also see that we are confronted by choices to either do or not do certain things. And it can defile us or it can make us whole. If you've ever traveled to a third world country, for me being growing up on the border, familiar, we went into Mexico a lot. This was a long time ago. I don't know that I would go today, but if it was to preach the word, I would. But just to go and visit and shop like we used to, I'm not sure about that. But you never, number one rule was what? Never drink the water. Your stomach is not used to it and you will get sick. Guess what happens to the person who tries to violate that or does violate that? They get sick. Brother, when we go and we violate God's word, that's exactly what is happening to us spiritually speaking. We make ourselves sick and we're going to have to go to the great physician in order to get cleansed, to get purified once again. Look at verses 6 and 7, a new name. There the Bible reads, "Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego." New names. What if your name was to be changed this evening and you did not have a choice in the matter? Some would say, I don't care. Others might, you know, put up a little bit more fight. I want you to understand what the names were, what they meant, and now what they have become. So you are a follower of God. Someone has come in and taken you as a slave and is taking you back to their country, a foreign country to you, and is forcing all these things upon you. You're going to do it this way, this way, this way, this way. And by the way, I'm going to change your name. Their Jewish names, or Hebrew names, if you will, carried significance. The name Daniel, God is my judge. The name Hananiah, God is gracious. The name Michelle, God is without equal. The name Azariah, the Lord is my helper. Now we see there in verse 6 and 7 where the names were changed to. Daniel becomes what? Belshazzar, which means Bel will protect. Hananiah is changed to Shadrach, which means inspiration of the sun. Brethren, do you see where we're going with this? They're changing to pagan, to idolatry, things not associated with God Almighty. Mishael became Meshach, which means belonging to Aku, a false god. Azariah becomes Abednego, which means servant of Nego. How would Christians respond to that today? You know, it's hard sometimes to understand or realize what we're going to do. I'll give you a perfect example. When this whole COVID came upon us, and elderships were having to make decisions. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? What do we do to continue glorifying God? How would you like to be put in that position? No doubt some difficult choices had to be made. And we need to hold up the hands of our elders who followed God in these matters. No doubt. Their very names are being changed for pagan purposes. Do you see these young men contesting that? Now, I'm not trying to isolate this as a specific event that says, well, you know, we can fight here, but not here. I'm just saying we choose our battles and we never compromise the word of God. Nebuchadnezzar's goal was to change their identity, was to change their way of thinking, and that's what every evil person does. If you were to go and study communism and they have a manifesto, do you know what one of their 10 things to do is? Take over the education of the children. Do you know why? Because then they can program them into what they want them to be. Brethren, we can do that as the Lord's church and program them into what God wants them to be. It's a cycle that always continues. And so, as we read through the book of Daniel, though, even though their names are changed, here's what's important. Their character is never changed. The world and the devil will try every tactic in forcing us to become impure and forcing us to compromise. But no matter what they say to us, no matter what they call us, no matter what they may do to us, even death, Revelation 2:10 gives that example, doesn't it? You be faithful even if it means your death is the idea there. We stay true to God Almighty. These foreigners that had captivated them were not going to be able to change the character of these young men. And really, when it boils down to purity and simplicity, that's what we're addressing. Do not allow outside influences outside of this book right here to change or alter your character. As we continue then and we journey through this life and these attempts are upon us, looking at these four men here is an encouragement. Their trip into Babylon, all these things change in their life. Most of us would be a wreck if just one of those changes occurred. If you're used to having pot roast on Sunday, and I say, you're not going to have that anymore. You're going to have kale, dry. Well, we might be ready to fight a little, wouldn't we? And put up a fuss. Their name has changed. Where they lived has changed. Their diet has changed. All of these changes, and they're able to stay faithful to God. Brethren, that's a lesson for us, that we can maintain our purity no matter come what may in our lives if we put God first. All right, now verses 8 through 14, the purpose of their hearts. So you remember that water bottle I had? We have what? One spoon of dirt in it right now, right? So now use your imaginations. We're going to put a second spoon of dirt in it. Going to shake it up again. That's going to make it cleaner, right? You're ready to drink from it now? You'll see where I'm going with this when we get to our third point. So now we have two spoons of dirt in our water bottle. Let's keep reading then and learning some things from this wonderful section of Scripture. Look at verse 8. And in this purpose of their heart, we see their dedication. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. That's it, brother. I'm not stopping. But that's how you keep purity, maintain purity. What did he say there? Daniel purposed. That doesn't come by accident. That doesn't come by, well, this is what I want to do. I just can't do it sometimes. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. This evening, brethren, I hope that's our purpose. That we will not allow ourselves to be defiled by any influences whatsoever. Let's keep reading. With the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Those Babylonians, boy, they could change these boys' homes. They could change their diets. They could change their names. They could change their education. But they cannot change their hearts. You mean human beings are capable of acquiring that kind of strength of mind? Apparently our God thinks so. We have this being recorded and given to us and what we're looking at here this evening. If it would have been easy for them to say what? Well, it's all right. Everyone else is doing it. Well, we're captives and, they might hurt somebody or we just need to go with the flow here and we'll change it. Here's what some people would do. We'll just continue to be a Christian, but we'll keep it to ourselves. Brethren, Christianity is not silent, not according to God. It is not silent. There are souls at stake. And when we begin to silence it, we do ourselves a disservice and an injustice to God Almighty. These options are not good enough for these men. Darkness, enemy, family, friend, foe were not going to sway them from their determination because they had purposed in their hearts. They had determined that they would remain pure before God Almighty. Christians need this same level of determined commitment even this very hour. Brethren, we're living in a wicked world, aren't we? I live in Austin, Texas, and let me tell you, that place is weird. There's lots of weird things that you don't see in other towns going on. Just driving down the road, it's weird. I'm telling you, it is everything that it claims to be. It tells me there's a lot of people needing help. A lot of people needing the Bible. There's a lot of work to be done. Many of us find it too easy to give in to compromise. We need to dedicate ourselves again to God Almighty. In verses 9 through 14, we see their desire. Let's read that together. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed you your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Do you see someone being influenced by someone else here? I'm not saying right or wrong here, but we see another example of what influences can do. He's worried about what? His head being cut off. I think I would be worried too. But hopefully I'm never worried about it to the extent that I'm willing to compromise the word of God. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. By the way, chase a rabbit here. Verse 11. Isn't it interesting when you continue reading in Daniel chapter 1, the Hebrew names are used? But most everyone knows them by their Babylonian names. What it's worth. Verse 12. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Pulse, salad. Rabbit food. Then let our countenances be, verse 13, looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. Do you see, brethren, these young men here are in a precarious situation. And rather than just being rebellious about it, they try to work out the situation. Dare I say they reach a compromise. Let's work through this together. Let's try this out and see what happens. But in this compromise, they're not compromising the Word of God. They're staying and getting others to the Word of God is what is happening. And so in an effort to maintain purity before God, they request that they not be forced to eat the king's food. They knew that if they were fed that it would defile them and be unacceptable to God. And so it's allowed, isn't it? I'm not reading anything special there. He says, all right, we'll give it a try. And so Daniel and his friends understand what is going on. Brother, it will not always be the easiest thing to do. Young people, it will not always be the most popular thing to do for you to take a stand on God's side. But in the end, who is it going to matter? I'm not saying anything we have not already heard this evening. But what I am saying is, let's reassure ourselves of the confidence, of the hope, and the assurance that we have because of our God. It will not always be understood by those that are around you. I've heard families say, why do you have to go to church every Sunday? Saying it almost like that's a bad thing or a negative thing. You know, I believe some of my brethren believe that. You know why? Because when family comes to town, they don't go to services. That's a compromise. That is making yourself impure. That is contaminating you, and it's sending the wrong message to those whom you claim to love the most. The whole point is these men made up their minds they were going to live for God and allow nothing to change it. Think back about your life, brethren. What have you allowed, I'm talking spiritually speaking, to change your life? You know, it's one of those, if I had this to do over again, I would have changed this. I would not have made that mistake here. What's good is we have Jesus on our side, and when we do make a mistake, a.k.a. sin, we seek out forgiveness when we change our course, when we change our action. They stuck to their guns more than once in the book of Daniel. In chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to die rather than to compromise. In chapter 6, Daniel, this man is over 80 years old, and he's being thrown in a lion's den. Why would they do that to an older fella? Nonetheless, that's what they're going to do, and he risked death in the lion's den rather than to compromise the Word of God. Brother, I'm thankful that, at least me personally, I've never encountered something like that. And it's easy for me to stand before you this evening and say that if ever I did, I would stand for God Almighty. Never be a problem. When you're faced with the situation, it can really change. And if you haven't purposed, if you haven't prepared your mind, I don't mean just casually, I don't mean pull a Peter. I'm not going to let you die, Lord. Really? Jesus told him what was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened. Make sure our faith is strong. What about us? Do we have the same level of resolve and commitment as these men do in the book of Daniel? Would you be willing to die? Or would you compromise with the enemy? Now, before you answer that, and you probably already have, our minds work much faster than Gibson can talk. Think about this. Do we see brethren compromising in their speech? I remember one time services were getting ready to start in a place that I was at, and I knew this widow sister for many years, a dear lady. And she came through that morning, getting ready for Bible class, and she was hot. Something had upset her. She was fuming. And she came up to me, "Preacher," thankfully it wasn't at me, and whatever she was telling me. And right in mid-sentence, she let out a cuss word. Man, I about fell to the ground. And she realized what she had done. All I'm saying is we make mistakes, but what had she already been allowing in her mind to reach that point? Perhaps with other people, she was talking like that. And then she turned it off like you do a faucet when it came to be around church people. Brethren, that's impurity. That is compromise. That is abandoning God. What about our lifestyles? I mentioned our music, our dress, our worship. These men decided that they would die before they compromise God's word. And unfortunately, some brethren have compromised for a lot less than what is going on here. We need to strive for the same standard in our lives, no matter where we can be found. You know what one of the greatest things could ever be said about a Christian? One word. Consistency. Consistency. Think of how beautiful that word is. Can your brethren say that about you this evening? Can the world where you work and where you involve yourself say that about you? They don't even have to ask because they already know how you're going to answer. God comes first. If brethren can't think of that of you, if the world can't think that of you, there may be some impurity in your life that needs to be cleaned up, that needs to be filtered, that needs to be gotten rid of. and be found in favor with God Almighty. There are many of God's children who need to repent. They need to change because they are on the wide way that leads to destruction. There are many who have let down their guard and they compromise in one or more issues. You know, you hear a lot of times with young people, they hear this: do not put yourself in compromising positions. And usually it's related boy, girl, you know, the physical relationship. Brethren, that statement's true in anything for any Christian at any age, anywhere, anytime. Do not put yourself in compromising positions. If you know your weakness, don't go where it's going to be supported. Battle it. Go to those who are going to help you defeat it and overcome. Others are flirting dangerously close to doing the same thing. It is time for God's children to resolve that come what may, we will stand for God. We are not going to disgrace the name of our Lord who shed His blood for each and every one of us. We are God's children, and how dare anybody tramp on the sovereignty of God. And yet some of us are doing it. And it's sad. It ought to hurt us. You say, man, that preacher sure is doing a lot of fussing tonight. Well, what do you do when you have the subject of impurity versus purity? And there's brethren that choose the impurity over the purity. All right? We have to be mindful of those things, and they need to be addressed. The dedication of these men in Daniel chapter 1 can be summed up in two words. You ready? Here's the magic: faith and obedience equals purity. You put whatever definition you want on it, but that's what I see in these men here in Daniel chapter 1. Their faith and obedience to God Almighty equals purity. That's the life. That's what I want to be said of mine. Last point this evening, verses 15 through 21, the promotion from heaven. So you know where I'm headed, right? We have this bottle of water. How many spoons of dirt are in it? Two. Now we're going to put a third one. All right? Our water's getting cleaner now, right? We're ready to drink it. You'll see where I'm headed with this as we finish out this point. In verses 15 and 16, we see the experience. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus, Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Here is their experience. Daniel's experiment, Daniel's working with this man, and God was honored. Isn't that amazing how a child of God is able to work with a pagan and God is honored in the situation? Brethren, it is possible. Come Sunday morning, how many people in San Angelo, Texas, do you think are going to come and be a part of worship services at 9th and Main? What do y'all have, over 100,000 here? At least? Out of that 100,000, do you think one might show up? Perhaps. Maybe they heard something on the radio station or saw the sign and they say, I want to go check it out. When we read of the 50 days or so approximate that are recorded of our Lord's life here on this earth, where do you find Him? You find Him out and about everywhere that He can be in the short time that He has spreading His message. That He is here to seek and to save the lost. Brethren, we're going to have to get out into the brush, if you will. We're going to have to go out and reach those. They're not coming to us. We need to go to them. And so with this in mind, these four knew something many of us never get, and it is this. If we will do as God says, our God will never fail us. Brethren, not even in the slightest way will God fail us. Do you believe that this evening? Do you believe that God will never fail us? The Bible teaches it, Hebrews 6, 13 through 19. Our God does not forsake His children. Look at verses 17 through 20, their excellence. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Excuse me. And then it says in verse 19, the king communed with them, and among them, slow down, Gibson, all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, what? 10 times worse. Nope. 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. Their excellence. After 3 years of maintaining their resolve, they go before a pagan king, who, by the way, doesn't have a good track record towards God's people. And he interviews them and he finds what? That they are head and shoulders above everyone else. Not just others that were in training, but all that he had access to. They were 10 times better. You think that was by accident? Again, this reminds us that God honors those who honor him. Brother, we might not always see it in the moment. But you ever look back on your life or a situation and you think, oh, I see that now. I understand that now. Stay faithful to God. Do as he would have us. This does not teach that serving God faithfully is going to make you smart. It's not saying that faithfully serving God is going to make you attractive, or that it's going to make you famous, or that it's going to make you a millionaire. It does teach that serving God is what? Beneficial. What is God doing here? Well, when we understand what is happening from history and from what the Bible teaches us, God is promoting these men to accomplish his will. God is promoting these men to accomplish God's will. He placed these men exactly where he needed them, where he could use them in that day, and he did so that all the glory goes to God. Where do you think God is placing you today? Brethren, our God has not changed. He is still using us for his glory and for his honor. We are special. We're not just robots. We're not just, programmed to go do this and that. If we are following God, he is using us for his honor. I don't know about you, but I take great delight in that. You ever have battles with yourself and you think, am I being any good? Am I accomplishing any good? Are people not hearing the Bible? And you kind of get frustrated, perhaps even discouraged, tools of the devil. Know that God is using us. The key, never compromise, even in what we think is the smallest of areas. So now, compromise equals impurity. Compromise equals impurity. Trying to do as the elders have requested of me here, the idea of faith and obedience equals purity. Compromise equals impurity. We can get that right. If I can get it, I know all of y'all can. Not a problem. So we understand these things. All right. Now, watch this. In verse 21, their endurance. Now, we're not told per se how long Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served in Babylon, but we are told that Daniel endured even into what? The reign of King Cyrus, who comes in and lets Nebuchadnezzar know what he thinks about everything and takes over. Cyrus the Persian, the Medes and the Persians. But anyway, for over 70 years, Daniel lived in foreign land. 70 years. I already told you, I've been here 6 days, 6 nights. I'm ready for my bed. 70 years this man lived in enemy territory. Gibson better stop whining and complaining so much. Amazing what he was able to accomplish. He was nearing 90 years old. I said 80 plus earlier when he was faced with the lions. It encourages me because it reminds me, brother, no matter how long any of us live, none of us really know that if we will live to honor God, he will use us for his glory. Yes, I am purposely repeating myself. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be encouraged of that, brethren. God is always looking for vessels of purity. Those that he can fill up and pour out for his glory. The New Testament says that we are earthen vessels. That we have a message to deliver, and it is that of God's word. This evening, how usable are you to God? It's answered by how clean you are before God Almighty. We must learn to never be guilty of compromise. Now, going back to our imaginary bottle up here, we have 3 spoons of dirt in it. Now, if I saw y'all correctly when I had my eyeballs on earlier and things that I heard, none of us are ready to drink it after one spoon of dirt is put in it. And yet we want to tell God, you're going to take three spoons of our dirt and you're going to put us in heaven. When we ourselves would not do that, who are we to expect God Almighty to do that? Brethren, there's a lot that they know they need to clean up their life. And they think God is somehow going to punch their ticket into heaven. There are some brethren who think that their lives are so dirty, so impure, that they think they're going to get to heaven on the coattail of the preacher because he was good and he was sound. Or they're going to get there based upon the eldership. We each must give an account for our own deeds, whether good or bad, in the day of judgment. A giant 400-year-old redwood came crashing down one day, and no one could figure out why. This massive tree had stood for four centuries. 400 years. Can you imagine what that tree must have been? It had survived storms. It had survived earthquakes. It had survived lightning. It had went through fire. And then all of a sudden, it fell over one day. Upon further investigation, they had figured out that some beetles had got inside and were eating away the fibers that gave that tree its strength until it rotted and it fell out. Brethren, in much the same way, the devil tries to bring us down as Christians. Remember, Jesus says, what is on the inside is what matters. And so, things that seem insignificant, skipping a service here and there. Oh, it's not that big a deal. God knows I'm sincere. Yeah, he sees some impurity in that sincerity, and it hurts him. We think about going to a dance. It just bothers me when Christian parents will come to me and they're not asking what the Bible teaches. They're wanting permission from the preacher, like the preacher has some kind of say so. Their daughter has to go to the high school or their middle school dance, or they're going to be the social outcast of the school. So be it. Oh, but she's not going to dance, preacher. Why would you feed a young, innocent lady or boy to a pack of wolves? Why would you even put them in that situation? Boggles my mind. Overlooking sin, fellowshipping with those who have clearly abandoned the truth and holding up their hands as they're as good as you are. Brethren, it's going to get us in trouble. Just one glass of wine, it doesn't make me drunk. You know why people say that? Because they think drunkenness is defined by the state and when you're allowed to drive and not to drive. They think drunkenness is that when you stagger and you can't even climb up or down these stairs. They haven't studied the Bible and what drunkenness is. Be free from intoxicants. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, what? Walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If he can get us soft in any of these things, we have stepped outside the hedgerow of God and put ourselves in grave, grave danger. Brethren, we are in the fight of our life, not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and following. And while we may be fighting in one area, the devil is setting up house in the other to get us. He doesn't want us being here this evening. He realizes and looks at San Angelo, Texas, figuratively speaking, says, I got some work to do in that town. I see some people there who love God. I see some people there who are pure. I need to get busy over there. Show me a person who has fallen away from their walk with God, and I will show you a person who started making compromises with the Word of God. It's the way it happens every single time. And so let each of us ask ourselves this evening, are there any areas in our life? Only you can answer that. I can't answer it for you. That needs attention. That needs attention this very hour. Friend, you have the support of an entire family of God here. Sometimes people are embarrassed. Sometimes we need to be embarrassed, but it's time to get past it and return to your first love. The God who sent His only begotten Son. Are you allowing things in your life that you used to think were wrong? And you've changed your thinking. Are you compromising your soul for an eternity in hell? So this week, consider what we have learned in the short time that we've had together. And I thank you so much for your kind attention. As I mentioned, what belief is, what preaching the gospel is, the power of God's word. It's dynamite. It's something special. It's something to be treasured. The simplicity in preaching is what? The message of the cross. We have got to tell the story that God loves us, that God loves you. And it is seen and proved in sending His only begotten Son. We believe Him, therefore we joyfully and make no apology for obeying His commands. We learn that God's simple plan for position in the home. We prove that the Bible is true and everything of man is a lie. This evening we've looked at compromising God's word will make us impure. If the beetles of compromise are whittling away at your soul, your walk with God, then you need to come back home before it's everlastingly too late. We already know, brethren, we are not promised tomorrow. God's invitation is always open, but I want us to each seriously for just this short moment think, I need to get some things right. I've made some bad choices. Get out of it. We're here to help you. We're here to pray with you, to encourage you. If there's anything that we can do for anyone this evening, study the Bible and to become a Christian, whatever it may be, please come while we stand and while we sing.